It's that time on the radio where we discuss something financial or about investment. But today we're going to be talking about property and specifically, should you consider downsizing your property? Hi, Bill. How are we today?
Hi, Howard. Yeah, no, I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well. Well then, many British people who retired abroad were able to buy their dream property, a Spanish villa or a converted French farmhouse perhaps. But as the years go by, should the time come for them to think about downsizing? Are the financial benefits worth considering, Bill?
I think it will matter. It's a very big question, Howard. And of course, naturally, you'd understand why many people, having lived in their home in continental Europe as an expatriate, they become attached to their home. And frankly, you know, they know the inner sanctum of it and they want to remain inside the comfort of that property. But there are an increasing number of people. I can think of several just off the top of my head who have spoken to Blevins Franks. I can think of two who are clients of Blevins Franks who bought properties in Spain nearly 30 years ago. And now, in their mid-80s, are finding that the expense and management of the property is becoming a burden and that they, frankly, have become, and I've used this expression before, I mean no offence by it, but they've become overhoused and undercapitalised, because what has happened is the cost of maintaining the property, the cost of living, the cost of running their car, everything has increased exponentially over the last 30 years, and the property value has increased quite a lot. But over the last few years, property prices haven't really increased in continental Europe very much at all. And if anything, they have become much more difficult to sell. So people who now find themselves in a property which is becoming difficult to manage start to think about how can I realise the value of this and what benefits are there. You know, it is possible, you know, to scale down the size of your property to unlock funds for your retirement and yet still leave a quality lasting legacy for your family. I mean, it's not surprising that within the more beautiful parts of continental Europe, especially, you know, in Spain and France, offering, you know, a lot of favourable property opportunities in the most outstanding surroundings, it just isn't surprising that many people from, you know, the gloomy winters of Britain choose to retire to their own slice of heaven in the sun. But whether you buy your main home in continental Europe or just somewhere to holiday, the individual's property is often, more likely than not, their biggest asset. It's usually the most costly item that you will ever buy, and it does have the potential to provide a substantial return on your initial investment if you've held it for some considerable period of time. And a lot of people also view their home as a lasting legacy to secure the financial future for their children and other heirs. However, as I've said, the risks are that if you rely on bricks and mortar as the source of your wealth, you can't really go down the shops and spend those bricks and mortar. You can't increase your income. You can't use the value tied up in the property to get you away on a holiday. And after all, if you can't fully realise the financial benefits of property while you're still living in it, and also, as far as investments go, property can prove, as I say, very costly to maintain. So I do think, not for everybody, of course, and I don't suggest for a moment that people should simply think of cashing in their house just to have a life of riding. That would be foolish. But I'm talking here about people who live in substantial properties with a huge amount of equity tied up in the property and yet at the same time might enjoy a different way of investing the excess cash that's tied up in the property, which could produce better returns, better tax planning, and also give you a better quality income in retirement. So with careful planning, downsizing your home could find the balance between securing a comfortable retirement today and also creating a sizable legacy for your future generations after your life is over.
Mm. Otherwise, Bill, what are the potential financial benefits of keeping your larger home?
Well, I think, you know, I own a very nice property in France. I used to own a property in Spain. I don't own the property in Spain anymore, and I've recently sold the property in France, but it was a large property. And relying on the risks of bricks and mortar as the source of wealth is something of a fool's paradise. If you can't fully realise the financial benefits of the property while you're still living in it, really, why would you want not to enjoy the optimum level of life, quality, when there's money tied up in your property. Now, I'm not suggesting for a moment that you go to things like equity release. I don't really think, generally speaking, they're a very good idea. I think they're more, they favour the advisor and they favour the loan provider and not the person with the property. But a lot of people are considering relocating to a smaller sized property so that they get a balance between securing a comfortable retirement today and, as I say, keeping this sizable legacy for the future. I mean, the larger the property, the more expensive it is to run, especially if you have mortgage payments, although rates are quite low. The property taxes that apply these days are quite sizable. And then there's often cleaning and gardening staff to pay, building, pool maintenance costs, and they can add up to a relatively high ongoing burden, and particularly if you've got more than one property. If you're retired with a reduced or your income is becoming more limited as time goes by, regular costs like these property maintenance costs can be especially draining on your resources. On the flip side, larger properties can provide leveraging opportunities. You could borrow against a proportion of the property's value, for example, if equity release is the right thing for you. Personally, I don't actually countenance equity release as a sensible way forward. And whilst that does free up extra cash, equity release, like any debt arrangement, it comes with costs and risks. And very often you can find that the accumulation of costs in an equity release scheme chew up a much larger part of the property than you had at first imagine. But for many retirees who are looking to shed some debt and leave something more behind for their children and grandchildren, in equity release, more borrowing isn't really the answer. It's about using the funds that can come out of downsizing to reinvest in a broader diversified holding of investments that will give you, if not a better return than a property, will certainly give you better tax planning opportunities than you can usually acquire from property, because property is, generally speaking, at the front of the queue when it comes to a value within your estate for tax purposes.
Yeah. Well, you've highlighted already, Bill, the possible high maintenance costs on a large property, but do you often come across retired expatriates who own a lovely property but risk not having enough disposable income in their later years?
I have come across it several times, Howard, and it's never a pleasant experience, because generally speaking, what happens is that individuals purchase the optimum property at a point in time when they feel this is what they're going to want for the rest of their lives, without fully appreciating that the property you buy at age 60 may very well be a handicap for you when you get to age 75 and your knees aren't quite so good as they used to be and there's several flights of stairs to cover. You know, it's also about size. You know, at one point in time when you first buy into property as an expatriate, you have an expectation you'll have a house full of regular visitors, which is, generally speaking, for the first few years, an inevitable proposition when all your friends and family want to come and see the lovely home you've bought in a much sunnier place than the one they're in. But over time, you end up rattling around in these big properties like peas in a can, and it can often be very depressing and very costly. And so, you know, I don't honestly think that it's sensible to live on what might be a reducing level of income because of the increasing costs that are outside of your control, whilst there is huge amounts of money tied up in your property. You know, for most individuals, downsizing is becoming a realistic proposition to ensure that they optimize the value of their wealth for their own benefit and for the benefit of those people that will inherit that wealth at the end of the individual's life.
So, Bill, what are the benefits in moving some of your wealth from property to investments, like equities and bonds?
Well, I think if you downsize your property, that can help, you know, maintain your lifestyle whilst increasing your access to your wealth. It needn't be a compromise for space. Many people find that once the children have flown the nest and the visitors have slowed down, that a smaller home can actually be more suited to individuals' needs. I personally, you know, I don't want to talk about my own personal history, but I've sold my large property in France and I've bought an apartment, you know, and it really suits me down to the ground. It's lock up and go, enjoy my time there. I don't have the same maintenance costs. I don't have the same staff costs. You know, not only when it comes to bills, you can still retain enough space for people to come and visit you. And it needn't actually either be a compromise. Many people think that the security of bricks and mortar is something they wish to let go. But if you look at the way in which property prices in continental Europe, Spain in particular, have floundered over the last decade and a half, There has been no rule, very rare, to find a property that has grown at more than 6 or 7%, whereas equity investment, bond investments have grown at that kind of rate on an annual basis over that period. So you would have been a lot better off in terms of total wealth if the value of your property had been invested outside of property and in a diversified portfolio of investment assets. So when you release the capital from a property, it can be reinvested in alternative investment arrangements that are more tax efficient for the country in which you live and offer you more flexibility. I mean, it's a good idea always, before you take the move to downsize, to talk to a financial advisor like Blevins Franks, seeking independent opinion on what you might achieve with the assets that are tied, the cash assets that are tied up in your property, to ensure that you can continue to improve your wealth overall and indeed improve your income in retirement. And of course, it's much easier to plan for succession tax with the assets in equities, bonds and cash than it is with them locked up in real estate, which is an immovable asset, as opposed to a movable asset, which is much easier to plan with.
Yeah. Well, there are also tax implications for owning high-value property or more than one property, aren't there?
Yeah, of course. Downsizing almost always reduces an individual's tax liability. I mean, wherever your home is, stamp duty, capital gains tax charges generally increase with the property's price tag. And higher value homes can also tip you over very often the threshold for wealth taxes. In Spain, you usually attract wealth taxes of between 0.2 of 1% and 3.5% if the combined value of your Spanish property and other assets exceeds 700,000 euros. And it's surprising, Howard, how many people bought into Spanish property 15, 20, 25 years ago, who now, a modest property at that point, now worth well more than 700,000 euros. Although Spanish residents, let's just be clear on this, they can receive a 300,000 main home allowance on their worldwide assets, including UK property. I mean, the wealth tax rates seem relatively low, but when you apply this to property values, this can add thousands to your tax bill, and reducing the amount of tax can make your money go further in your lifetime, as well as maximising the value of your legacy.
Could downsizing property bill then prove to be more tax efficient for yourself and, of course, for your heirs?
Sure. I mean, there are lots of tax planning structures that Blevins Franks have been using, which are approved by the tax authorities of Spain, which can house movable investments, equities, bonds, cash and other investment assets, unit trusts, offshore funds, of your choice at a risk level which is no greater than the real estate that you're living in. As I've said, property prices, generally speaking, in Spain have not gone anywhere for the last decade, generally speaking. There are exceptions to the rule, of course. But generally speaking, they haven't gone anywhere, whereas had you been invested in a diversified portfolio of blue-chip equities, of low-risk bonds, you would have been making somewhere around 7%, 8% per annum, beating inflation by a substantial margin and actually improving the capital value of your wealth. And so the idea that bricks and mortar is the last resort of financial security is just a misnomer. There is no question that property prices in many parts of Europe, including the UK, Spain, have actually fallen over the last 7 or 8 years. And the simple truth is that has not been the case for other investment markets. So it's very well worth considering how you invest the possible fortune tied up in your house. And once you have it in flexible, movable assets, the tax planning arrangements that can be wrapped around those assets is phenomenal. Reducing income tax, eliminating capital transfer tax, eliminating or reducing significantly succession tax. Can't do that with real estate. There it is. It's immovable, it's there, and it has a value. And you simply, there's very little you can do about tax planning, bricks and mortars.
Yeah. So overall then, what is your advice to someone who's wondering if they would be better off moving to a smaller property? And how do they go about weighing up the pros and the cons and investing the proceeds to suit their needs?
I think that's a long question with a very long answer, but I'll try to shorten it. You need to really seriously think it through. There's no point in leaving a home that you love and enjoy just for the sake of turning it into cash if you don't need it. But for a lot of people who live in properties where there is huge amounts of value and that they themselves have plans to pass on their inheritance to their wife, their spouse, their children, their grandchildren, there is much more opportunity to pass greater wealth on by a diversified holding of other blue chip secure investment assets than perhaps holding onto the property. As I've said, the property is an unavoidable asset that is there sitting waiting to be a target for all sorts of charges, taxes, and then in the end, an asset for succession tax or inheritance tax, and in some cases, both. What you need to remember is that if you sit down and talk to one of the partners at Blevins Franks, we have been giving advice to individuals for 40 years about what the alternatives might be, whether it is to downsize or not to downsize. You will definitely get an impartial and objective assessment of the benefits and, in some cases, of the disadvantages, if they're there, of whatever course of action you're trying to take. And Blevins Franks represent a very good sounding board for anyone who's just thinking about doing something, because having had the experience, you know, of advising expatriates for 40 years, we've got a pretty long history of facing up to all sorts of issues that confront expatriates, and downsizing is simply one of those.
Well, many thanks, Bill. How can people get in touch with you if they want to? I guess the website is the best place.
I think so, Howard. I think www.blevinsfranks.com is a very first good port of call. There are some of these radio interviews housed in that website, newspaper articles, copies of our books are there, a list of all of our staff and local offices, and there will be an office close to you, and they would certainly be happy to sit down and talk to you absolutely without charge or commitment to discussing what it is that you're trying to achieve and trying to rationalise with you in an impartial and objective way what would be best for you in the circumstances. And so I'd suggest, if you are thinking about downsizing, before you get too far down the line, sit down and talk to the quality advice that you can get from Blevins Franks, so that you are in a position to make a judgment about whether that move is suitable for you or not.
Well, thank you very much, Bill. Next week, we're going to be talking about financial planning for any new retirees. So I suppose it moves on from what we've been talking about this week.
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, in a sense, you know, for most people who have decided to retire to continental Europe, they will probably already have made their property purchase. And I hope this week will have been of interest to them. But it's also important when you're considering leaving your home country, if I can call it that, let's say in the main hour, prospective listeners and clients are UK nationals. When you're leaving the UK and going to a continental European jurisdiction for the remainder of your life, there are a million things, I'm sorry, it sounds like an exaggeration, but there are thousands of things probably that you need to understand that will never come by your general knowledge. But Blevins Franks is in place to help provide and fill in all the gaps that might exist in your knowledge to make sure that when you retire, you position yourself in a way that you get the very best out of your retirement in your new country of residence.
Many thanks, Bill. As always, we'll talk again at the same time next week.
It's a pleasure, Howard. Take care.